It's the essence of God's kingdom. The Mishkan. The Mishkan is the tabernacle. I like the word Mishkan. That's the original word. The Mishkan covers a lot of more territory when you look at it Hebraically. This is a journey going through the first five books, the Torah, because it all reaches out into the rest of Scriptures. The rest of Scriptures all manifest off of the first five books of the Torah. It's a very important aspect to look at. And we're going to start off with Exodus 25. Just 1 second. He says, bring to me an offering of the people that have a willing heart, a mindset of I get to, not I have to. An offering for me, he says. In the original tongue, Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe l'amor. And God spoke to Moshe, saying, Dabar el b'nai Yisrael, v'yikhu li teruma, me'et kol ish esher yitbenu levo. Tikhu et toratai, torati. Bring to me that which is the fruit of a willing heart. I'm paraphrasing. A willing heart, levo, lev. Yidvenu and vayichuli are very important terms. Bring me gifts. Vayichuli, gifts from what was originally mine, which I shared with you. The gold, the silver, the jewels that the Israelites would give were taken from the Egyptians when they left Egypt. They were not to be used for personal benefit, but for something kadosh, set apart, holy, and transcending is what it was to be used for. The verb here translate bring, veichu, literally means take. One who gives, receives something in return. The sense of being generous and making a worthy undertaking possible. The sense of sharing with others is an important venture. The sense of self-worth that comes from knowing that we can give away something of value without feeling diminished. It's very important when we look at this. The tabernacle's main purpose was to remind the Israelites that God had not forsaken them. He didn't zip off up into heaven and disappear and hide. His presence would always be with his people. And that it, HaMishkan, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, would be a reminder of a tent of witness to the fact of God's forgiveness to those who have a willing heart. God's presence is not found on that mountain. It was then. But when they all left, that mountain was no longer holy. It's God and the union with the people that was set apart. God's presence is not found in a building. It is found in the hearts and the souls of the people who fashion, sanctify, edify, and love one another within the building. He says, what kind of a house are we going to build for him? We are stones that are being shaped. We are fashioned. We are being, if we allow him, being bettered. We're being prospered in spirituality, in preparedness for where we're headed, the world to come. As I've said before, none of us put ourselves here, and he's going to take us out, and we will go on with him into the world to come. The Torah, the ways of God, is all about getting ready for the world to come. Preparing so that we can be his essence here on the planet now. Exodus 25, 1 through 9.
Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ramskins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. Just so you shall make it.
Now, the everything he mentioned here just now had a specifical physics behind it. There are some teachings that I have heard from engineers and different ones in the realm of electricity. They said that this tabernacle, years ago I heard this teaching, and I believe it. It says in the word that they were not to touch it or they would die. Well, the reason they would die is they'd get electrocuted. This thing all has silver sockets on the bottom, big planks and beams. It was one big generator. The hides were made of the materials that generated in the sun electricity. This created an ozone inside the tabernacle that kept the air pure, and Aaron's rods budding and the manna from decay. And when one realizes lightning is not just lightning, but it's also the fingertip of God, it's his part of his, one of his many forms of power. You have to look at what he was telling them to do. He said, not only am I going to give them something that they can see and is a picture of what their descendants are going to build inside themselves. See, if you hang around a negative person all the time, you get your conductor drained. And you're craving to be around somebody that's uplifting, right? I mean, you can listen to a sad story only so long, and you want to go be with somebody that's happy. You're craving to be with somebody happy. Well, interesting, you're craving to be with people. This is what the Mishkan's all about, is people groupings of people coming together in his presence. And so this has so many dynamics to it, I can't even hardly begin. But there's a lot of dynamics to it. Always keep in mind what he is trying to do inside us, a work he's wanting to do inside us. This house has cobwebs, needs to be cleaned. It's got some trash, it's got some baggage in here, and he wants it to be in order. And the world out there has a way of bringing in disorder and bad influences into our house, which causes us to feel like, oh, and about that time the enemy jumps on your shoulder and says, see, you ain't worth nothing, are you? See, the enemy's watching just as many things as God's watching. But God's got tests for us. Are we going to get in and clean up his house? Are we going to construct him a house that he can dwell in? Or are we going to listen to that enemy and say, why even bother? Go get the broom. Because this is what the enemy does. So I want everybody to keep in mind unity, forgiveness. These words, unity, forgiveness, are very important. And this is what we're going to go into today. There is many nuances and many areas one can go into with the tabernacle. But the main thing in Scripture that I want people to always remember, that these things were written thousands of years ago for human character change. They were not made for people to outthink each other. They were not made for people to condemn each other. They were not made for people to point at each other with. They were made to take inside. As a young man told me just the other day, he said, notice how the tabernacle was built? From the inside out. The shulchan, the bema seat, the work of gold, the ark was first thing. A place for God's presence. So this is very important as we read this today. Exodus 25, 10 through 16.
And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you.
Now, this ark is very important. There is a term called midrash, meaning discussion, what people discuss. Jewish people, the rabbis and different ones, they discuss midrash. And there's a midrash, a discussion that the Kohanim, the priests, may have thought that they were carrying the ark when in reality the ark was carrying them. People do not sustain the Torah as much as it sustains the people that have a willing heart of pure motive. So when we get to looking at this, God is giving these people, these ex-Egyptian slaves, these Hebrews, Israelites, sons of Abraham, something to do. Because we saw for 1 second when they didn't have something to do, they come up with the golden calf. And many of the scholars say that this ark was seat where the cherubim were was designed specifically to atone for the golden calf. And this is where the voice of God is supposedly comes from. It's where those tips of those wings come together on the cherubim over the ark. That spark that goes off is where God's voice comes out. It's a very beautiful picture. He gave the people a place to go with their willing heart. Now give back to me all that I gave you in Egypt. This is kind of what he does to us in life. Asita kapura et zahav tahor. Exodus 25:17-22.
You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work you shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end, and the other cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it, of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel.
Now, always remember, as I've said before, for people that are new, and a reminder for us, first the physical, then the spiritual through Scripture. First the physical, then the Scripture. And in the Hebrew, in Exodus 25:17, Va'asita kapuretz zahav tahora. This is, you shall make an atonement cover of gold pure. This is where we get the term Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Kippur comes from the atonement. Or you can take that word and break it down into 3 words, at one meant with him, becoming one with him. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. The cover is made of gold to atone for the sins of the golden calf. This reminds us that the gold can be an idol or a vessel of holiness. Very important to keep in mind. You shall overlay it with pure gold, Exodus 25:24.
And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around.
This is not referring specifically to its mineral content, but is referring to how the gold is acquired. Gold can be kadosh. It can be set apart. It can be holy, or it can be contaminated, depending on how it was acquired, how it is earned, and how it is used. This determines the purity of the metal itself when it comes to the tabernacle. The tabernacle, this Mishkan, was to be a tent of witness to the fact that God was still in Israel's midst, even when they fell short of what they promised to be. Exodus 25:18-22.
And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the two ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel.
Now these cherubim were creatures like we've never seen, because they're not on the planet. Because he said, don't make anything that looks like anything on the planet. So these were creatures that had great wings, and it sat on top of the ark. We have kind of a similarity of what Hannah and Kyle found in Israel there that got tore up. And they have a purpose. It speaks so much. These two cherubim, you notice there's two. They represent the two houses of Israel facing each other. Ezekiel 37. The house of Israel, Ephraim, Israel, and his companions, and the house of Judah, Israel and his companions, facing each other. For there were two, for two or three are gathered in my name. I am there in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. You don't have to read that one, Paul, I just did. That where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. This does not mean to split off in pairs or threes to gather. It just means what it says. The cherubim face each other to show Israel they must always be connected with each other, facing each other, and may never turn away from each other only to be concerned with God. This is something we have to remember. This all was designed for community. People coming together. It's one of the hardest things for some people to do. Come together with a group. Some people's faults can be something so overwhelming for them to face. So they hide from the very thing that is designed to make them grow in character, the community of believers. Very important to remember that. Very important, very important. Many times we have to say, you know, if someone's chasing you down or in your face about something, they have to realize this is a test. The people that rose up against Moshe had a problem with people within the community. Unity is so crucial for proper growth. Now, in the Israelites come out, there were some that got kind of cranky out there because there was nothing out there but what God gave them. And I, you know, we have examples of people getting mad in that 40-year wandering out there. So, you know, and you take the number of people there were. Hundreds of thousands of people. You know, there had to be a few break off. Some went this way. They're on the Sinai Peninsula, Saudi Arabian Peninsula, going out there for 40 years, wandering. You become something other than what you're supposed to be when you isolate yourself. When we become an island to ourselves, that island grows all kinds of critters. And our perception goes south because we're no longer in a reality of a community, we're in a reality of our own perception. Because in our own home, we can carry our own perception and no one challenges it. And 9 times out of 10, it's wrong. So then where we wind up? Like an Israelite turning into an Arab. Completely disordered. Acacia wood overlaid with gold. It says this in Exodus 25, 23 through 24, take acacia wood, overlay it with gold. Wood is alive. Wood symbolizes growth. I used to say all the time, why didn't they just make the whole thing solid gold? Well, number one, it would have been pretty heavy, but then it carried itself. Why have the inside of it wood, acacia wood? It's the same thing as Etzchaim, the trees of life. The wood symbolizes growth. And the gold symbolizes the purity of the growth. Wood is alive. The Torah is also called Eschaim, the trees of life. And we are to be a tree. Psalms 1:1-3.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Now see, up here it doesn't say, they put underneath, and the law, but in the Hebrew, betorat means in the Torah, which means in his instructions. This is not law, this is instructions, teachings and instructions. That's why Yeshua came to the planet and walked it out, to prove to man that it can be done. And it also made him the unblemished lamb. Without the Torah, we would have no pure Mashiach. We would have no pure Messiah without the Torah. So we have to be careful when one says that was all done away with, because that's the purity of the Messiah. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He is the Torah in the flesh. In Psalms 1:1 through 3, it says, whose leaf shall not wither on this tree. The testimonies, instructions within a person truly received will not wither. The leaves is also what the Torah, the 40 sections are called leaves. They're for the healing of the nations. Shabbat with unity will prosper a soul. Telling and focusing on what one is for and what one is not against is life. The menorah in this parsha that talks about the construction of the menorah. And they have one at the Kotel that is an exact replica. It's behind 2 inches of glass. I've seen it. I've stood in front of it. I got a picture of it. It's huge. The 7 branches of the menorah represent the 7 days of creation. Many will wonder, why the 7? It also has other implications. The most important of all is the 7 days of creation and unity. They all come together into one lamp. John 17 is some of Yeshua's last prayer that we have recorded. And I want everyone to, as we read John 17, 1 through 23, think of unity in the body of believers.
Yeshua spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are.
And may be as one as we are. Keep going. Thank you.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Whenever you see this right here, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. That specifically is referencing his ways. When in this culture back then, when they said, I kept them in your name, I kept them in your ways. Because that's what God's name represents, his ways. His ways are all right there. Go ahead, Paul. Thank you.
But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. They all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me.
What is he saying here? What's the main theme? Everybody be one. Echad. We have one God. We have one Messiah. We have one kingdom. No denominations. Yeshua is begging his Father to make his people one. So where in the world do believers have the right of an opinion of division? If they say and profess here in the word. When Yeshua's last prayer was to be one in the ways of God, why is that fought so hard against? Why is there such opposition against that? The enemy has gotten inside of mankind's head and swelled it up to the point that man now thinks they have an opinion on division. Overriding Yeshua's prayer. Overriding the Messiah of man, of God. Last prayer for unity. This is horrible. People are going to answer for it. It's going to be devastating. This is where the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth come from. We are to be as a tree planted by water, growing fruit. Unity. Hebrews 10. 23 through 25.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching.
Romans 14, 19.
Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and things by which one may edify another.
1 Corinthians 8:1.
Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies.
You notice the way these words are weighed out here. Now concerning things offered to idols, and he's talking about knowledge. This is all in the same context. Notice, he said, concerning things offered to idols. We know we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. He's saying here in these verses, he's saying that knowledge can be idolatry. And I've seen it many times. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Very important. Very important. As I've said before, since I've been in this ministry public since 2006, 2007, never has God created a situation where I've had to tell someone to leave. Never. I never told anybody to leave. But I have told people they can't bring their anger addiction in here. I have told people they can't bring certain character traits in here. I have told people, check yourself at the door. Touch the mezuzah. Come in mikvah. Come in with a pure heart. A novel concept. in a world of slice and dice. But many were not. They chose to cling to that which they were addicted to. Anger addiction, critical spirits, things like this. I can make the list. It's about character. I have to protect the synagogue. We have to protect the synagogue. We have to watch over each other. Ephesians 4:11 through 32.
And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Mashiach, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men.
Amen.
In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Mashiach, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yeshua, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Mashiach forgave you.
Amen. Good words. Good words. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Such important words. It's a direction we are headed, like I said last week, not a present boast. Remember some of the people said in there, when Moshe, he said, well, we're all holy. Korach, he said, well, we're all holy. Who gave you the right to rise above us, Moshe? But in the world of the teachers, they say it is not a present boast. It is a goal to aim for. That's why we're all here. We're aiming for that goal of perfection that prepares us for the world to come. Because I don't want to be plopped down in the world to come as ignorant as I am right now. Man, that's not a good place to be. It's scary to even think about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing.
Comfort and edify. Ephesians 5, 29 to 30.
For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
He's saying the body doesn't hate itself. Can you imagine? I mean, in war zones, some people have war zones. And my body, if it's at war with itself, what's it going to do? It's going to get sick. It brings in sickness. Hebrews 10. 32 through 36.
But recall the former days in which, after you were eliminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward.
Amen.
For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise.
Whoa, strong words. For you have need of endurance. And this is what I pray over these little children every Shabbat, that they would have endurance, that they could have strength to truly forgive, that they will be able to carry the weight of the knowledge of God. Because that's something you don't float around with. It can be a heavy, heavy burden on our conscience when we start to see the magnitude of the knowledge of God. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, your first love, the way you felt when you first were enlightened. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. He's saying right here, we do not receive the promise before we do the will of God. He's saying here, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Because then we're proving to him that we care. This is what he's looking for. He's looking for this in people. That's why it's called a remnant. Very, very important verse. That verse 36 is a very important verse. Acts 7, 44 through 50.
Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moshe to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, found favor before God, and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Yaakov. But Solomon built him a house. Moreover, the Most High does not dwell in the temples made with hands, as the prophet said. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?
What house will you build for me, says Ha'elohim? What house will you build for me? That question right there echoes in my head 24 hours a day. Isaiah 66, 1.
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest?
1 Corinthians 3:16.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
In 2 Corinthians 6:16.
And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Ephesians 2, 19 through 22.
Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
So when I realize that this is to be, this, we look into ourselves and say, I am to be a temple for God. He tells us how to build it. We can't come up with our own way. That does not work. We have to go to his instructions to see just what kind of house he wants to live in. We have to learn what's clean and unclean. What is defiled? What carries influences? People, buildings, and clothing. Cars. We have to be careful where we go and what we do in our minds. We have to learn to mikvah in the right spirit. Reset our status with water. These next two verses, I did not get on the list in time, but these are my motto. I love these verses. Ecclesiastes 7:16.
Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself?
Don't be overly righteous and don't be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Good words. Ecclesiastes 7:20.
For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin.
Adonai, thank you for your words. Thank you for knowing us better than we know ourselves.